indicated to you, and we have a common origin in the Charismatic Episcopal Church, although I don't think we actually, we may have met a couple times at conferences and things, but how many of you here are cradle Orthodox people? We have just one.
We're going to have a couple babies.
And a couple children. We have a couple children. God is doing an amazing thing. It says in the scriptures that the Spirit will lead you into all truth. I was born and raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and actually in high school considered ordination in the Roman Catholic Church. Went and was exploring that for many years, and came to the conclusion that I definitely was called to married life, and that the vocation in the Roman Catholic Church was not an option for me. I was also very, very involved in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the Roman Catholic Church back in the 70s and 80s, in which God really began a movement of pouring out afresh, in a way, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It gave the people a zeal for the Word of God. And one of those things, and it's interesting, and we're reading the Gospel today, in Matthew's Gospel, you see clerical legalism occurring in Jesus dealing with the leaders, the religious leaders of his day. And we have to be very, very careful because history does repeat itself. As Jesus, if you didn't realize, was a little bit of a radical at the time. He came to reveal the heart of God the Father. He came to reveal God the Father to the people. And what he did is he preached, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." And not only did he preach that the kingdom of God was at hand, he demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God. He healed, and he healed sometimes on the Sabbath day. He broke a lot of the legalistic rules, religious rules of his day. And so, of course, you realize that the religious establishment would raise up in some ways to want to squash that, who those individuals who were not really falling in line with the religious legalism. It's very easy for people, and people are creatures of habit. We love habit, we love ritual, we love things. It gives an order and a stability to life, which is God ordained. But the danger in that legalism, the danger in falling into the routine of life, is not to be open to the move and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing at the moment. We know that in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, he has this conversation, and he says to Nicodemus that the Spirit comes and goes, and we don't know where it's coming from or where it is going. And so it is with those who are led by the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily fall within the rubrics of how exactly everything is supposed to be done in the church world. The Holy Spirit, God, decides what He wants to do at the time. And what God is interested in and what God is looking for is the people who are listening to Him, who are listening and willing to be moved by the Spirit and do things, godly things, that would be considered in some ways a little edgy today. Some things that sometimes fall outside of the norms is to be constantly in prayer and asking how we can be used by God in our everyday lives. And when you begin to pray those things and be open to tuning yourself to listening to what the Holy Spirit is doing, things begin to happen. Things that weren't necessarily part of the plan of our day. And that's kind of what Jesus was talking about with Nicodemus, is to be open to pray, to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You and I have journeyed into the Holy Orthodox Church. The Holy Spirit has led us into all truth. But that doesn't mean that where we came from was absent God's truth and what God was doing. When we were making the journey, and one of the things I need to backtrack a second is, standing in this old Methodist church brings back for me a deep sense of warmth and security, in the sense of this is very much where my first church that I planted began. It was in an old Methodist church. And it feels just like this, and it was just about this exact same size. And at the time, we were in the Charismatic Episcopal Church, but we met at Sundays at 4 o'clock after the Methodist church had cleared out. And we grew our church in that place. And then as the fullness of time came through and as God was leading us into the Holy Orthodox Church, we made that transition, and our next step was to buy an entire larger church complex that was being sold, and so we did. And so in 7 years, from a few people in the living room to where we came into the Orthodox Church, we ended up buying a large complex. And do you know what I knew about church planting, about mission work? Zero. I knew absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, I started a Bible study in my living room, with just this. And just a desire to study God's word, to be open to moving at what God was doing. And lo and behold, we had no idea that God was eventually going to grow us into a congregation that we would end up spinning off another church and bringing two churches into the Orthodox Church. And so we ended up doing that in the course of about 8 years, is raising up two churches and bringing them into the Orthodox Church. The difference between listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what the Holy Spirit wants is so many people hear the Spirit of God and they feel the prompting of the Spirit of God, but they don't act on it. There's a saying that I like to use, and it says, a vision without action is just a dream. A vision without action is just a dream. Action without vision is wasting time. But vision coupled with action changes the world. Let me say that again. Vision without action is just a dream. Action without vision is wasting time. But vision coupled with action changes the world. If you hear the Holy Spirit prompting you and moving you and you don't do anything, God has given you a vision. God has moved in your heart. And not to do it is just, it's a dream. To be out there doing things and not looking to God, not having a vision from God, is wasting time. But when you combine the vision that God has for you in your life, and you can couple it with the action He's calling you to do, you will change the world. This congregation here has two roles. As a mission church to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unchurched, you are also missionaries in the Orthodox Church. As a Western Rite congregation, you are part of a restoration movement that the Orthodox Church has given its blessing to restore to the Orthodox Church the historic and venerable liturgies and worship and culture that was lost after the Great Schism back in 1054. And so you have a twofold ministry in many respects of bringing and making Jesus Christ known, bringing people into the Orthodox faith, but you're also missionaries to the Orthodox Church. Liturgy, our worship, is culturally informed. We're very familiar with our brothers and sisters who were raised in the East. And their liturgy was developed over the centuries in that Eastern culture. And it reflects that, and it's beautiful, and it's glorious. But we live in a Western country, where by and large, most people here in the United States come from European nations, Western European nations. And so, whether you come from a Baptist church, whether you come from a Lutheran church, a Methodist church, whether you come from the Episcopal church, is all of those liturgies that originated, had their origins in the Western liturgy of the Roman church, the Orthodox Roman church back prior to the schism, all of those. So, we are culturally part of the Western expression. And so, what we're entering into today is a recapturing of what God was doing in the West for 1,000 years. St. John Maximovich said, never, never, never let anybody tell you in order to be Orthodox, you also need to be Eastern. You need to be Eastern. Is what the Orthodox Church needs today is people who are passionate, in love with God, who want Jesus Christ to be revealed and known to the world. You and I gather here on Sunday so we can scatter to make Jesus known in our families, in our workplaces, in our relationships, everywhere we go. To bring the joy, the liberation that we've come to know in salvation in Jesus Christ to all those we encounter. And we're also witnesses in the larger Orthodox Church to the beauty of Western worship and our culture. The gospel message is meant for all people. And so it's a wonderful and wonderful, beautiful thing. I'm going to jump forward quickly to Matthew chapter 10. And if you follow along, there are a few Bibles. But today's gospel reading is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. But I want to jump forward to, and I love this passage, because Jesus is, and this is a missionary passage, and he's called the 12 to him. And here's what he says to them, and this is chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal every disease and every infirmity. And he goes through the names of the 12. And picking up in verse 5, he says, and these 12 Jesus sent out, charging them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His first priority was to the people of God, to the people of Israel. They deserved to hear the gospel message first. They were the faithful custodians of all the tenets of God. And he says, so go to them first. And he says, and preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. So Jesus is sending out his 12, the apostles, through the means of those who are sent. He sends them out to first preach the kingdom of God, and then to demonstrate its power. Heal, cleanse, raise the dead, do all of these things. I have the opportunity and the blessing to work for the Archdiocese, and I get to travel around the country being in Eastern Rite parishes and Western Rite parishes. And very often, when I get called in to some places, when the churches are stagnating or in decline, I will sit with the priest and the church council, and I will ask them a very simple question. Why does the church exist? And it's very interesting sometimes when you're sitting there, and you get a puzzled look. Because, Father, why are you right? You're sitting in a church, and you're asking us why the church exists. And I repeat the question. Why does the church exist? And you get all kinds of different questions. Some is, you know, to worship God, and so on. And they're all right in the thing. They're all right in very aspects. The most simple, and I try to distill this down to the most simple and basic question that I believe the reason the church exists is this. The church exists to continue to do everything that Jesus did while he was here. The church exists to continue to do everything that Jesus did while he was here. Can we accept that? Yes. So I have to ask the question, are we preaching the gospel of Jesus? Are we preaching the kingdom of God is at hand? Wherever we go. Are we demonstrating that in our lives? Or is it a Sunday thing and a Bible Wednesday thing? Is it just something that we compartmentalize? And we as Americans, we are masters of compartmentalization. You can be in a room with all kinds of Christians and you may never know it because we've compartmentalized our lives so much. That we have our Sunday thing and then we have our work thing and we have our family gathering thing. We have everything's got a box. And we don't let the boxes touch. We don't let them touch. So are we preaching the kingdom of God? Are we demonstrating the power? One thing that I have to say is, in coming from the background that I came, I went to an evangelical seminary, so obviously a real passion for the preaching of the Word of God. I had a charismatic background, we were in the CEC. I'm open to the move and gifting of the Holy Spirit. Bishop Thomas, who I know you love dearly, when I was looking at bringing my congregations into the Orthodox Church, I attended Father Patrick Cardine's parish of St. Patrick's when they were being chrismated and brought into the Orthodox Church. I went down to visit. And Bishop Thomas, during the reception after the chrismation, said, Father Ken, sit down. He's very gracious. He called me Father, even though he was heterodox at the time. He was very gracious. He sat down and he said, it's clear that God is moving amongst you people. It is clear that he is doing wondrous works. He says, I've only got one question for you. I said, well, what is that, Bishop? He said, are you in unity with Christ's church? I was, wow. It's clear that God is moving amongst you, that God is present. We had a very strong healing ministry in Emmanuel Church. He acknowledged that God was present, God was active, God was moving, and his question was not one of, and he was not condemning, he was basically an invitation. So he said, are you in unity with Christ's church? And I had to honestly say, no, your grace, I'm not. And he just looked at me and said, then come home. Bring everything that God is doing amongst you and come home. And I just sat there stunned. Wow, here is an Orthodox bishop who could have very easily dismissed me as a heretic, a heterodox, you know, but he expressed God's grace and God's love, an invitation to return home to the unity of God's truth, which is only found right now in its fullness in the Orthodox Church. But that doesn't mean that in the Orthodox Church we've forgotten certain things. the passion of preaching God's word, to boldly engage the culture we're in, to be open to the move and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. All of the spiritual gifts are not solely held with what I call the hired guns, the clergy. As a matter of fact, God limits his giving because God still determines how he's going to distribute the spiritual gifts. And he distributes them amongst you, the congregation, the people of God. We are called to be a people who gather, so we scatter. We gather on Sundays to worship God. We have an audience of one. But as we go out these doors, we are part of the apostolic church. We are ones who are sent. And then you're in this beautiful rural area of Maryland, and it is absolutely gorgeous. But God is sending you out with a twofold mission: to bring people to saving faith in Jesus Christ and the ancient Orthodox faith, to bring them into unity with his church. Which means it's okay to engage those who are willing to engage in a non-condemning but a very loving way. Those who are not yet in the fullness, in unity. And invite them as Bishop Thomas invited me. Come home. Come home to the unity. And people, you all have a story of your journey into the Orthodox Church. Some of you may have read the Ancient Church Fathers. Some of you just kind of over time and maybe you realize there was something more. Maybe your denomination was in some type of liberal decline and embracing things that were not blessed of God. We all have a story of our journey. And I notice, I know that if we were all together here to talk about it, there would be a common thread through all of it. You know what the common thread is? It's God himself, the Holy Spirit. That God uses circumstances. Romans 8:28. All things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I want to encourage you. You are lacking nothing in this congregation. You're a small congregation, but you have the fullness of everything that God wants you to have. It's all present right here. You have the fullness of grace of the sacraments. You have the fullness of, you have a priest who can consecrate the Eucharist for you. You have God's word being proclaimed. You have a Holy Spirit who wants you to just pour out his gifts. He's just looking for people to be saying, yes, let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. And when we begin to engage in those things, our world is transformed. And our world is just wherever God has you at the moment. And so often, I had my sister at one point came to me years ago, and she was tears, crying. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, the world is just so bad, it's just so overwhelming, I can't do it. And I looked at her and I said, you're right, you can't do it. I said, God's not asking you to change the whole world. He's not asking you to engage and change all of the horrific things that are going on around the globe. And if we watch the news long enough, yes, you will be depressed. All God is asking you to do is be faithful in wherever he has you placed right now. In your homes, in your workplaces, in your friendship, in your relationships, and those things. We can only be faithful where God has us. We can only be good stewards of what he has given to us. And that is how the Church of Jesus Christ grows. We are called to continue to do everything that Jesus did while he was here. To preach the kingdom of God is at hand. To demonstrate the power. You know what the most powerful testimony for Jesus Christ is? Your changed heart. Your changed heart. Talk about moving mountains. Sometimes the biggest mountain ever moved is a human heart. And that's the work of God, the Holy Spirit. We had a thing, and Father James and I had dinner last night. You got great barbecue, by the way. We went to
Black Hawk.
It was good. That was very good. I love barbecue. My wife is from Kentucky, and so I have a little southern. If I'm a Yankee, and she's a southerner, so we have the north-south thing's always going on, and it's a wonderful thing. And I definitely probably like Father James, married way above myself. But we were talking last night, and there was one thing we always did at the conclusion of our service, and I continue to do it today. And it's, I never ever want you to leave the house of God, the place of worship, and not hear that God loves you. God loves you. And there's if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and following, it says that when God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. Now, that's an amazing statement to hear that God's not counting our sins against us. Because in our Western tradition, God was very angry at us. Go back to the hellfire and brimstone days. It didn't matter whether you were Catholic or Protestant. His God was mad. And he was kind of that angry Santa, and he was getting ready to slap you down. And the refreshing beauty of Orthodoxy is God's not mad at you. God's actually in love with you. And the view of the cross is not one of God satisfying his wrath and Jesus being a divine whipping boy for an angry God. It's the love of God. It's a therapeutic model. It's an act of love, not one of anger. And it's a whole, and all of our theology is informed by that. So while God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against you, God loves you. God is not mad at you. God has forgiven you. God's promises, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Not you, not your children, not your children's children. Therefore, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much for the time.
I believe in one God, the Father.